Helena Marcus had not given much thought to her marriage. She was no princess whose wedding could change the course of nations, and neither was she a creature of high society, confident that suitors might come knocking on her door, eager to make first impressions with the hope of being remembered as a mutually beneficial option after the computer did its work at genetic matchmaking. Her parents were neither destitute nor disreputable, but rather quiet citizens of the empire, and despite their professional accomplishments, they were, by and large, given privacy to continue their work. What Helena was to her very bones was practical. She gave no thought to her marriage because she knew her parents didn't think she was ready, even though she would shortly come of age and make her debut in society. Amongst other things, this would earn her the privilege of logging into the G-Net, the Church and Crown-sponsored system colloquially known as the computer, that would read and store her genetic code with utmost confidentiality unless she chose to make it searchable and request a match. Helena was under no illusion that her parents would support any match made that way just because the general public now accepted it as right and proper. Her faith in the Church of the Empire and its computer was as steady as it had ever been, but her mother had argued early and often that no computer, however well programmed, could understand matters of the heart. Gabriel and Anna Marcus loved each other very dearly and had done so for the entirety of their relationship with near-perfect ignorance of and indifference to their genetic suitability. They would accept no lesser circumstance for their only daughter as long as they had any say in the matter, which, Helena being as loyal as she was practical, they did. So, Helena held herself somewhat aloof from the simmering excitement of New London's impending debut season. The small cohort of the sons and daughters of dons from the university hospital where her father taught were lively and interesting, and she looked forward to dancing with them at their debut ball, but she had no particular attachment to any of them. None of them had ever made her pulse quicken. She did not save magazine articles about what colour gown complemented her particular white complexion. She did not think of DNA and a church nave decked in flowers. She did not daydream of rumpled sheets and lazy mornings. She did not make plans for a household in New London and how she might run it differently than her parents ran theirs. She did, on occasion, let her thoughts linger on August Callahan, who almost certainly loved her. He had not said as much, of course. It had never seemed quite necessary to name aloud what they felt for each other. Helena had not seen August in months, not since the previous Thanksgiving, when she and her parents had last been up at their cottage on Lake Muskoka. Helena and August might have had a summer friendship only, as so many cottagers' children did, but their parents were also friendly, and when August's father had business in New London, it was with the Marcuses that he stayed, strengthening the bond between the two families. Strengthened into what, Helena was not exactly sure, but August seemed to know, and she was willing to wait until he spoke before she clarified her own feelings. She was very fond of him, and the futures she allowed herself to imagine as his wife were always good ones. She thought that if she were patient, her parents might see that as a sign of maturity and be less likely to quash any proposal simply because it was the first she received. She would be careful and deliberate with her debut season, avoid the glamour and giddiness as much as she could, and then, when it was all over and she was legally an adult by the standards of the empire, she would talk to her parents about August and to August about the future.